every trip, every time.
A life-saving message sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend and on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Cedar Lake Sales is taking storage reservations for the coming winter, and it's first come, first served, so contact them soon to make sure you get a spot if you need one. Check the Cedar Lake Sales website for details. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, a proud sponsor of our show and of duck hunters everywhere. To learn more about the world's leader in wetlands conservation, visit ducks.org. And we're brought to you by the Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, CastleRock-Peatonwell.com. And by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center at WoodsideRanch.com. And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at MilwaukeePBS.org. And our Deer Hunt Wisconsin show from the last several years is archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel. And if you missed any dates, websites, or phone numbers, you can always listen again at lake-link.com/radio. Our show is also now available as a podcast on the new Outdoor News website, outdoornews.com, and on LakeLink, iHeartRadio, and many other platforms as well. Find Jeff on social media at HardwaterJeff, and find me at Dan Small Outdoors. A couple of calendar items you might be interested in. September 15th is the deadline for eligible hunters who want to participate in the gun deer hunt for hunters with disabilities to contact and confirm their location with a hunt sponsor. Thousands of acres of land are available through sponsors for this year's hunt, which will run October 7th through the 15th. To participate, hunters should contact sponsors directly. For more information, visit the DNR website, keywords deer hunt for hunters with disabilities. Coming up on Saturday, September 23rd in Danbury in Burnett County, the second annual Jordan Buck Day celebrates the former world record whitetail buck taken by Jim Jordan near Danbury in 1914. That event starts at 10 a.m. Details at burnettcountyfun.com. Also on Saturday the 23rd, the third annual Clam Lake Elk Festival starts at 8 a.m. and runs all day, and activities are free. They'll have a snowmobile and ATV show, vendor booths and exhibits, an elk walking tour, ATV tours of the area, great food, an antler hunt for the kids, and a DNR presentation on elk. For information, visit Rob Sparhawk's Facebook page or take a look at my Facebook page. I'll have it posted there. Also on the 23rd, it's a busy day, Warren Nelson and friends will perform at the Harbor View Event Center in Washburn at 7:30 p.m. For info on his appearances and more, including our theme music, visit warrennelson.com. We mentioned last week that the DNR would like help monitoring elk this fall, so if you see one or more elk when you're heading out hunting, hiking, or driving through elk country, visit the DNR website and search for the Large Animal Observation Form. Take a photo if you can and write down any collar numbers that you are able to read, but keep a safe distance, especially now, because the rut is on. Some northern lakes are open to wild rice harvesting, and the schedule changes by the day. You'll need a DNR permit if you're going to do some ricing, so visit the DNR website, keywords wild rice, to learn all about it. And if you're planning to hunt from a tree stand this season, as most of us are, there's a free tree stand safety course that's a good refresher, even if you've been hunting from tree stands for many years. It only takes 15 minutes, but it could save your life. Find the link on the DNR website under keywords tree stand safety. And if you or someone you know will be a first-time hunter this year, there's still time to register for a hunter education course. Visit the DNR website, and keywords are hunter education. I'm Dan Small. I'll be up on Lake of the Woods next week, but we'll have a show for you, and Jeff Kelm will be back. Get outside this weekend, be kind to each other, stay safe out there, and be sure to join us again next time for Outdoors Radio.
When the cool night swallows the moose's nose.
fishing on one cold leg. When the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
FM WCQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation. 98Q Country.
You're tuned in to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. We're glad you're with us today. Now let's join Pastor Todd as we allow God's Word to build our faith.
Well, good morning. Great to have you with us again. We are so thankful, and I take this as a great privilege that many people put this as a part of their schedule each week, that you would join me for a half hour, and that we would have the wonderful opportunity. And it is a privilege for me to be able to open His Word and to be able to look at the truth that's found in His Word. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life where I've needed His Word more than I do right now. Because His Word reminds me what is true and what is right. Because His Word is true and it is right. And it changes lives because He sent His Word. He sent His Word for today, us to understand and to know the path of life, the plan that He has for us. Why is it, I've been thinking this last week, why is it that this Word has been such a threat to so many that they've literally set in their sights the destruction of His Word? It's been their primary focus and goal. Why is it that communist governments have so banned this Bible, this truth? Because it is offensive to them, because it's a threat to them. Because why? Because it has authority. Because what we read in Hebrews is it's living and it's powerful and it's active, and all of those things talk about the authority that's found in His Word. Why is the psalmist right? His Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Because His Word, when it is taken in, it gives you strength, and we might define that as faith. Faith comes by hearing, he tells us in Romans, and hearing the Word of God. And so we can take in His Word this morning and experience freedom, experience peace of mind, because the Word will guard your heart and your mind. I'm reminding you of these things because we need to understand and know that this Word is a privilege to be able to take in and read. And who knows how many more days we have left to hear this Word and to apply it to our life and to take it in and let it bring the freedom that Jesus promised us, because He said when we will know this truth, we will walk in liberty and freedom. We will not will be short-sighted. We will not look at things as so despairing that we give up and we live in a place of hopelessness, because we understand the end, because His Word tells us what's going to happen. This morning, I want us to go to 1 John chapter 2. And there's some declarations that are made in 1 John chapter 2 that are not open to debate and they're not open to argument, because these things will happen. Because these are promises that we can bank on. That these are things that you can put your trust in. You know, there's a lot of talk right now about these nations are called the BRIC countries, and them choosing to not use the U.S. dollar as their currency, and all of these things. And so now you might be inundated with ads that are telling you that you need to do this with your finances or this with your money, because you never know how trustworthy the American dollar is going to be. All of those things want to build fear into you. But really, we can't trust in man's made resources. If your trust is completed or fully based on those things, then it's certainly open to teeter. It is certainly open to fall. So his word is trustworthy. And so you can bank on it. You can believe that what he's promised is going to happen. In this world, Jesus said, we are going to face many difficulties. But what John tells us is that this world is passing away. Think of that. Jesus said, in this world, you and I will face hardships. But don't bank your life, don't build your life on the precepts that are found in this word. Maybe you've heard this before, again and again. But today, would you let the Holy Spirit remind you of these promises so that you don't bank or build on these things that they're like sand? Remember the story that Jesus tells of the foolish man? Because he built on something that was not trustworthy. Today I encourage you to build upon his word, to build upon his promises. He says, yea, I'm with you always, even to the what end of this world. Is this world going to end? Let's read what John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the worlds or this world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but there's a word there, but whoever does the will of God will abide forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Thank you that we have been able to declare that your word is powerful, and let it be in our lives today. Bring forth life. Bring forth truth today. And God, if any of us are missing out, God, on where you've called us, may you remind us of your will, your plans, your promises for us today, that you would show your great compassions and your great mercies, that they do not fail. And so we trust you alone. We trust you in a world that has seemingly lost its way, and we should not be shocked by that. But we thank you that we trust the one who is the way, the one who is the truth, and the one who will lead us to a life that is not based on this temporary planet, but is based in heaven. And so we trust you for that. We ask this in your name. Amen. He starts out with an emphatic declaration here. Do not love this world. Do not set your affections on the things of this world, because they will quickly be eroded from you. Do not love the things of this world, because it is so temporary, isn't it? But he says, I want you to love something that is more than just for the now, for the here. I want you to set your sights on things that are beyond this world. You see, what the word tells us in Isaiah is that God has put eternity in the heart of every man, meaning mankind. So God has placed within us eternity. We understand there's something that is so significant here that don't miss this, that you and I were created not just for a point of a short season on this planet, but that our soul is eternal, that we have been created for eternity because God is eternal. He's eternal. And you and I are created for eternity. And there's a challenge here. There's a warning here that when we love temporal things, we miss the most important things. And that is God, because God is eternal and he's created you and I for eternity. So he says, don't set your affections, don't give your attention to something that is so limited in the space of time. These are tests that you and I are going to go through. This life is really just a test, because every one of us will die unless the Lord returns. That has been appointed, that we will die, but then we will face what's ahead of us, and that is eternal. And God longs for you and I to set our attention on loving things that are not temporal, but loving things that are eternal. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Think of that. Think of what John is telling us here. If anyone sets their complete affection and attention on things that are temporal, it removes the capacity, hear that word, capacity for us to have any more room for him. See, God is a jealous God, and he loves us with an eternal love. He loves us, and we're going to look into 1 Corinthians in a moment here about the demonstration, the attributes of the love of God. And so here the warning is, here the challenge is, we understand that if we fill our life with temporal things, the eternal God has no room. The foolishness of this, the short-sightedness of this, is living for the moment. And that is a hedonistic characteristic. That means based completely on the pleasure of flesh. What a hedonistic viewpoint of life. We live today, and that's all that matters, is how I can entertain myself, how I can satisfy myself. And we see societies in the past that have lived with this short-sightedness, and we can see the incredible calamities that have taken place, because it's like a law of nature. These are things that will happen. It doesn't matter who practices them. They will happen to every one of us because we live with that short-sightedness, as I said. Just think of that. Think of what's ahead. And so he says, don't love these things, because the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in this world. And then he gives us a list here. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is of this world. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the arrogance, the pride, and the boasting. Those are the things that are of the sin nature. Because why? Because self, it's encapsulated every one of those things with selfishness. Every one of those things with, these are my rights. I should be able to do this because I want that, because I see that, because I want people to look at me and think I am somebody. And it's all based in temporal things. Those are all things that we have sown in our lives that will only satisfy us for the moment, because there's nothing in any one of these things that are eternal, that will satisfy us beyond this world. You want to talk about childish? The perception here is so childish. It's not childlike. It's childish, and childish means self-motivated, self-centered. When a child throws a fit, it's because they did not get something that they wanted, something their eyes looked at and said, I want that. Something that is so, now you have this need, and I want it met immediately. See, these are immature because they're all surrounded. They're encapsulated with selfishness. And what selfishness does, do you hear that word I used? Encapsulated, meaning completely surrounding, encasing. Because that's what selfishness does to our lives. Completely separates us from God and separates us from others. Isn't that amazing? What Jesus told those Pharisees, those people that were righteous by their external, and they were so arrogant about their own righteousness, he told them the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The only thing that involves self is the ability to love ourselves, the ability to embrace our own, at times, inadequacies. But he says, I want you to have an outward view so that you can love God perfectly. And how do we do that? By just submitting to him and just saying, God, I am weak. I at times mess up so terribly, but I know that you love me completely. And to allow that love to come in. And then from that, we love others. But it's not based in selfish pleasure, selfish pursuits, our own arrogance and our own pride. I find the people that are the most attractive are those that are just real. They just understand who they are. They understand at times their own inadequacies or their weaknesses, their failures. They own them, and they're just real. What you see is what you get. They have taken in facades and they put them away, and they said, I'm going to just be honest and real, because they're not preoccupied with their appearance. Their selfish pursuits, they're not preoccupied with those things. And what an appealing, attractive thing it is to see people that can just understand their own limitations, their own weaknesses, but experience the love of God, and then to love others, because what happens? It's so inviting. The appeal is there. You say, I can believe that. He says, all these other things is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world and its desires. The world. In this world, I believe more and more people are coming to the understanding that the promises found in his word concerning this world are ready to happen. This world will pass away, because he makes that emphatic statement. The world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God, he says here in verse 17, will abide forever. These statements are not open to argument. This world will not last. You and I will not last. As far as the physical world, as far as our physical bodies. At times it's amusing to me. And I do believe that we are called to take care of this, what Paul refers to as a tent. Our physical bodies are like a tent. And we are called to take care of them. We are called to honor the body that God has given to us. But there's an opposite ditch on the other side of that, where we just, you know, some people, they just, I'll drink what I want, I'll smoke what I want, I'll do what I want. That's one side of the road. The other side of the road is, Everything that I eat has to be organic. I can't do this and I can't do that, and I have to spend 6 hours a day exercising and all these things. And somehow we think that we will, if that's our perception, if that's our belief system, that somehow we will cheat death. No one has ever been able to exit this world other than through death, except for Jesus Christ. So we somehow think that we're going to somehow bypass that if we have that belief system. Hear me, we are all passing away. We are all passing away. That applies to us, that applies to this world. Passing away based on the here and the now. But there is one who doesn't pass away. There is one whose love is so absolutely amazing. It's his perfect love that drives out all fear. It's his love that took and said, it's not about my rights. I'll go to the cross because I'm called. I'm going to lay down my life. He is the one that's eternal. He always has been. He always will be. And he is God. And for atheists that arrogantly say there is no God, one day they will understand that their own arrogance was nothing more than a fog of deception that they lived in. And one day the sun will come out and it will evaporate all that fog, and they will realize that there is a God in heaven. We have to understand that the promises found here, they will never pass away. Jesus said that this world will pass away, but my word will never pass away. His word, his truth will not pass away. And so what are we going to anchor our lives to? The word of God or our own will? Our own desires? Our own pleasures? Our own moment in the spotlight? Are we going to trust his word that does not pass away? So, reminding you of what we first began with, do not love this world. It's not worthy of your love. There is one that is worthy of your love, and that is the one that's created you. See, the scriptures tell us that God is love. The very essence of who he is one of love. It surrounds everything about him. His love is so compelling to us. It's the very nature of who God is. In 1 Corinthians, I mentioned that we were going to go there. In 1 Corinthians, just yesterday I had a wedding, and this seems to be a scripture that is read at weddings over and over. And it's really not even applying. It certainly can apply. But there's a larger audience than just those that are married here. Paul writes, love is patient and it's kind and it does not envy. Think of the attributes here of God. It's not arrogant, it's not rude, it doesn't insist on having its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Think of the type of love that God is love. And here Paul says, these are the attributes of love. Love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. And then it makes the declaration here that it has no ability to end or fail, because he says love never fails. So the love of God that's manifested in you and I, that's demonstrated through what Jesus Christ has done for us, it will never, ever fail. Think of these attributes of the very love of God. He's patient. God is patient. God is kind. God doesn't insist He rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. Those are the very attributes of who God is. And he said, I call you into this love. So why is it that Jesus says, love God with everything? Because when we do, we experience so much. When Jesus said, the enemy comes to rob and steal, he wasn't kidding. But he says, in me, you will experience life. And why? Because of his love. Because he is not self-centered. Because he's not insisting on it, his own. But he says, I'm patient. Do you think of those attributes? None of us possess all of those things. Can we be patient and can we be kind? Certainly we can. But are we that 100% of the time? No. That's why that level and that depth of love is reserved for God. It's because all God is all of these things. And he never passes away. And so when you need that, when you need his patience, when you need his kindness, you can go back to it again and again and say, oh, I messed up. Thank you that you're patient with me. Thank you that your kindness leads us to repentance. Thank you, God, that we can trust your truth today. That even though we fail, you will never fail. Because you are love, God, and that will never fail. This love is something that's so incredibly, such a gift. But if we will squander it, see, it's the mercies of God, the kindness of God, the love of God that demands justice. And so you reject it and you resist it and you live your own way. There's also the penalty of living under the lie that you are God. I'm going to live for myself because I'm all that matters. And there will be one day a separation. The Bible teaches that there is hell that's coming. And I believe it. I don't have to read the book 23 Minutes in Hell to believe that. See, his love, his justice, it demands that. So if we reject it, think of them. So today he calls us. He invites us. Is your life passing away? Oh, that you would not live with the moment, but that you would look ahead, that you would understand that this life is going quickly, but you are not, because you are eternal. I want to pray with you this morning. Maybe you've loved things that are temporal, and you've set your attention on affection on everything that is for the here and the now, and God is saying, oh, I'm giving you some spiritual eyeglasses that you're beginning to see things differently. All of a sudden, things that were so blurred and out of focus, Jesus is bringing some clarity into your mind today. You need forgiveness. You need hope today. He did it all so you can come boldly and say, I need help today. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. Who knows how many days we have left? My dad went to the doctor last Friday and was diagnosed with cancer. I was going to go see him on Friday afternoon. I was going to be down in that area doing a wedding for a couple. My brother called me Friday morning and said my dad died. We don't know how many days we have. I said, how could he have died this quickly? The doctors just told him he had cancer Friday. Who knows how many days we have? But that we would put our love in God, who is eternal. Today, if you need the love of God, today don't reject him. Don't push him away. Jesus, you know people today. You know how many days they have left? Today would be a day that they can embrace your love and your forgiveness and your mercy. Today they would understand. All of a sudden they would see their own life and realize they've been loving things that are just here now. Today, would you give them your love? Would you deposit your love into them in ways that they've never known before? That they would know that Jesus, you sent, you came because you loved them, because you loved them. And so we trust you today. God, today, would you just bring faith into people's hearts and minds? Bring forgiveness and mercy today, God. So we trust you, Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks so much for scheduling and being a part of this time, because I believe this, that his word is powerful and it will not return without accomplishing what he sent it to do. And today he sent it to heal and to encourage and to build hope in your heart. And I'm believing that that has been accomplished. God bless you. I'll be praying for you this week.
You've been listening to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. Our service times are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Please visit our website at cornerstoneup.com or call us at 906-663-4700. Cornerstone Church, loving God, loving people, serving the world.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 64. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated showers tonight. Lows around 48. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for isolated showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 62. Cloudy skies. Upper 50s Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning warmer Wednesday with highs in the low 60s. Another look at the short range, high of 64 today, lows level off around 48 tonight. We should top out at 62 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 54.
Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls, in cooperation with St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Butternut, bring you the Lutheran Hour on 98 Q Country, each Sunday morning at 8:30.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. The Bible's Book of Psalms is a collection of 150 poems by King David and others. Some call it the Bible's songbook, but it's more than that.
All of the Psalms are human words spoken and written as prayers to God or as poems about God. Jewish people and Christians have also received the Psalms as more than merely human words. They are God's words given to humans as an entryway into God's presence.
Dr. Michael Ziegler looks at the Psalms and talks with Bible scholar and author Dr. Tim Seleska today here on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher, thanking you for your faithful support, and especially today as we begin our 91st season of broadcasting. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now with today's message, here is Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Years ago, a business consultant was working with a high-profile CEO who ran a large company. The CEO worked in a high-pressure environment, and more often than not, he was the cause of that pressure, scuttling around his office building like a barracuda in a business suit, hunting some hapless clownfish, preying on inefficiency, driving peak performance. But the consultant noticed a change when the CEO was at home. He became like a goldfish. Happily in his fishbowl, he was patient, present, relaxed, fun, funny. So the consultant says to him, "I hope you don't mind me asking, but how do you do it? How do you go from psycho businessman to super dad?" The CEO answered, "It's simple. It all comes down to my third space." "What's that?" "Well," CEO says, "one day not too long ago, I came home open the door to my house, and as I step in, I see my kids scatter. I caught a glimpse of them running around the corner into the kitchen and out into the backyard. They were running from me. And I realized that I was bringing my work mindset home with me. I'm finishing my wife's sentences because she doesn't talk fast enough. I'm yelling at my kids because they're not efficiently using the time available to them. I was like an angry hurricane, criticizing, shouting, leaving a trail of destruction behind me. And that's when I realized I needed a third space, a space to reset. So what did you do? I built another entrance into my house. Here, I'll show you. And he wasn't joking. The guy had constructed a separate entryway, a private entrance that led directly into his bedroom so that he could go straight from the car into his room, take off his suit, take a shower, relax, reset, and then come out and greet his family, which was apparently working for him. The consultant's name was Adam Frazier. Frazier's a researcher in the field of human performance. And this interaction with the CEO gave him an idea of how to communicate his research findings to a larger audience. Frazier had discovered that the top performers in their fields, you know, CEOs, athletes, and such, the best performers were the ones who could reset, who could transition from one environment to the next, or from one interaction to the next. The ability to reset was crucial, not only for peak performance in a job, but also to find balance at home as a husband or a wife or a friend, as a parent, a teammate, neighbor, whatever. Sadly, not everyone has the cash flow to build a separate private entrance into their house. But this conversation with the businessman gave Frazier an idea. What if this so-called third space wasn't a physical space at all, but a mental space? Or emotional or spiritual space, a space that you could go to in an instant, in your thoughts, in your soul, in your spirit, entering it through a simple activity, like walking your dog or listening to music or watching birds or admiring fish in an aquarium, whatever helps you transition momentarily into that headspace where you can reflect on what just happened, rest, and reset. And then step into whatever happens next. Frazier knew that constructing a separate private home entrance would be impractical for most people, but he believed that everyone could find their own mental space to reset. So he wrote a book about it, titled it The Third Space. It's an old idea, actually. The people of ancient Israel were doing something like this thousands of years ago. After they had lost their physical worship space, their space to reset and remember who they were, where they'd come from, and why they mattered. The temple in Jerusalem was the space that they had lost. Their high-profile CEO, King Solomon, son of David, had built this temple, this house for God, roughly 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, who is called Christ, the Messiah. The temple was Israel's physical entryway into that sacred space with God, into a relationship with God, creator of the universe, who had rescued them from slavery in Egypt, who had called them to be a kingdom of priests for all people, people who brought others into this life-giving relationship with God. But somewhere along the way, the people of Israel started treating the physical temple as their private entryway, their private property. The physical temple itself became their God, an inanimate, lifeless God. So God sent a foreign army to destroy the temple. God used this loss to help his people reset. And that's when this collection of inspired poems became even more important to them, these poems known today as the Bible's Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is a collection of 150 poems. Roughly half the poems were written by Solomon's father, King David. About one-third of them are anonymous, and the rest are ascribed to other authors, such as Solomon, Asaph, Moses, and a few others. All of the Psalms are human words spoken and written as prayers to God or as poems about God. Jewish people and Christians have also received the Psalms as more than merely human words. They are God's words, given to humans as an entryway into God's presence. Jesus himself used the Psalms in this way when he was being crucified, cut off from the physical temple, exiled from his community. Jesus used at least two of the Psalms of David to reset, to reflect and remember who he was, where he had come from, and why he mattered. Following Christ, Christians for thousands of years have done the same. For us, the Psalms are a spiritual entryway into the presence of God. We follow Jesus in this because we believe that he is truly God's Son, who became human, the Son of David, our Messiah, our leader, our King. God, his Father, physically raised Jesus from the dead so that the body of Jesus, the fellowship of believers in Jesus, could become the new temple, the eternal temple where there is life with God, life that not even death can take away, life there for you. And these Psalms are like an entryway into it. David, that famous ancestor of Jesus, used his poems in this way. Wherever he was, these poems and prayers could put him in a different headspace. A good example of this is Psalm 26. Many Christians will be hearing this psalm, Psalm 26, in their worship services this Sunday. Some churches use a list of psalms appointed for each week for worship, and Psalm 26 happens to be the one appointed for today. Now, when I hear this Psalm of David, I can hear David praying and letting the poetry transport him into the presence of God. However, when I first read this prayer aloud, it didn't sound like a prayer that I could relate to. It sounded like David was bragging about how good he was. It sounds like that prayer Jesus put into one of his parable stories. You remember it? It's the one where there's a self-righteous religious person who goes to the temple to pray to tell God how good he is. And there's this other guy, a guy who's so ashamed that he won't even look up at God. He's a broken man. He just keeps saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says that's the model of prayer for his followers, the prayer of the broken man. So when I hear Psalm 26, at first it sounds a lot like that boastful prayer, the one we're supposed to avoid. But on the other hand, I remember that Jesus told this story about the self-righteous prayer to a certain audience. He told it to a group of people who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on others. See Luke chapter 18, verse 9. In that context, Jesus' story is a warning to people in that headspace. But he's not saying that the brokenness prayer is the only way to pray. It can't be the only way to pray, because Jesus also teaches that in him there is a reset. There's a new life beyond this brokenness, and Jesus calls us, his broken followers, to reset and rise up, to be the light of the world, to let our light shine before people so that they may see our good deeds, to witness our peak performance and give glory to God, our Father. See Matthew chapter 5. So maybe Psalm 26 is that kind of prayer, a prayer forged in a situation like this. David is a young king. He's in his early 30s. He's trying to unite a nation still divided by a bitter rivalry between people loyal to the former king, Saul, and those loyal to the new king, David. Now that Saul is dead, there are powerful people jockeying for status and position, doing whatever it takes, bribing, spying, even murdering, to stake a claim for themselves. David is caught in the middle of it. He's an honest man. He fears God, loves God, trusts God, and he's trying not to lose his integrity or his faith. Now, David's never been a politician before. He's been a warrior. He's been a general, but politics is different. David's situation reminds me of a quote attributed to Ulysses S. Grant, the Civil War general who became president of the United States. This quote comes from a historical drama I heard about Grant. The drama follows Grant's work to heal a broken country, still divided after the Civil War and the assassination of President Lincoln. The scene occurs late in Grant's second term as president. It's a reconstructed dialogue between Grant and a colleague who is urging him to run for a third term, to heal the nation, to finish this political fight. And Grant answers, "I don't know how to win this fight. I can defeat armies on the field of battle, but I do not know how to fight an enemy who smiles in my face while he puts the knife in my back." That's what David endured as a young king in Israel. See the book of 2 Samuel. David was an honest man trying to honor God and love his neighbor. So he's leaving one political meeting, heading to another where more barracudas and business suits are waiting, and David pauses. Maybe he steps outside in the sunlight. Maybe he sits under a fig tree. And time is suspended for a moment, quiet, like a goldfish. And David enters that third space, and he prays, "Vindicate me, O Lord, because in my integrity I have walked, and in the Lord I trust. I will not slip. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Refine my guts and my heart, because your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I have not sat with deceitful men. I do not go along with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers. I do not stay with the wicked. O Lord, let me wash my hands in innocence. Let me walk around your altar, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud, recounting all your wondrous deeds. Lord, I love the habitation of your house. I love the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep away my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men in whose hands are evil schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I will walk in my integrity. O Lord, redeem me. Be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord."
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. We invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. right here on 98.3 FM WCQM. We invite you to tune in again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them in their regular Sunday morning service of worship. Now, in their 70th year of broadcasting, Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. The liturgy for today comes from the Lutheran Service Book, Service Setting, Matins, page 219. Hymns to be sung today are taken from the Lutheran Service Book, number 809, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 749, There is a Balm, is Gilead, and number 738, Lord of All Hopefulness. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Reverend Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is Faith Makes You Well. The sermon text is Luke 17, 11 through 19. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.